Hey, what's up, guys? Tom Henderson, the founder of ResGen here. I want to welcome you to another episode of the ResGen Getting Right podcast, where we hear stories, have conversations about life in Christ, integrating our faith into every area of our life, and talk about ways that we as men can give life to others at home, at work, and in the community. Today's show is a little different than others because this episode is a conversation that I had with David Pollack during one of our sessions at ResGen Men's Summit 2024. Which took place on Saturday, February 3rd, in front of a live audience of over 1,100 men. David was a highly decorated collegiate athlete who played defensive end at the University of Georgia. In the 2005 NFL draft, he was a first-round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals, selected 17th overall. But his career was cut short after he broke a cervical vertebra in the second game of his second season. In 2009, David joined ESPN, where he excelled in broadcasting for 13-plus years until he was let go in the summer of 2023. On this episode of the ResGen Giving Life podcast, I visit with David about several topics, including why he feels it is more important to pray for your kids' resiliency rather than for their safety, how we can never really outgrow our need to surround ourselves with others who encourage us to be all God created us to be, and the three holy habits that he practices every day that help him keep focused on Christ as he goes throughout his week. Those topics and more are all a part of this episode, and I'm super excited you're joining me for it. Here's my conversation with David Pollack.
Right. Well, dude, welcome to the ResGen living room.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
nice.
I feel like it's like a morning show.
This is a morning show. Comfortable. Got our coffee over here.
Yeah, in Sioux Falls, we got kind of a late night show called Late Night Boomin'. This is like early morning conversation or
this
something.
This is not the weather I expected, by the way, in San Diego. San Diego, South Dakota.
Yeah, exactly.
Same SD, same weather, right? Like,
yeah.
ESPN's
made that mistake, too. Like, they put, like, when SDSU goes to the championship games and stuff, which they've done the last couple years.
Seems like every year now.
Yeah, exactly. They put up San Diego State up on the screen several times during SportsCenter. So, listen, it happens to all of us, you know, all that. But, all right, so here's the deal, brother. I'm so excited about your willingness to come and be a part of this event today. And one of the things that I just think has been such a encouraging thing to me, and I know that so many guys here would concur with this, is just how you've worn your faith on your sleeve, whether it's when you were having all the success you were having in college football in Georgia, and then into your NFL career, which wasn't as long as you probably anticipated. Which
really, that's a nice way of saying your NFL career sucked. Yeah. Yes, correct.
Well, no, not to be clear.
That's very nice, is true. It was quick.
Well, yes, but there was a little bit of a medical issue that shortened that, of course. But then, of course, in your years of being a broadcaster with ESPN. So we're going to get into all of that. But what I'd love to start our conversation with is just – you did not grow up churched.
No.
I mean, you didn't have faith a part of your life until you were like a senior in high school.
Yes, sir.
And it was really through, there was some witnessing that you saw through a teacher and a project in English and reading. So I'd love for you to just talk about like just the being a senior in high school and coming to meet Jesus and how that, as you described, just rocked you to your core.
Well, I grew up with great mom and daddy, awesome mom and daddy, but church wasn't something we did. And so I never stepped foot in a church. And my buddy across the street, the Greenwoods, they said, hey, you want to come to a lock-in? I was like, what's a lock-in? It was like, you basically come to the church, we lock you in. And I was like, no. And then they're like, but you play sports and you get to stay up all night. So I was like, yes, yes. So that's literally the first time that I'd ever been invited to go to church. Never stepped foot in a church with my family. And I went, and that was the first, and I tell people that because I love it, because that was the first seed in my life. That wasn't when I discovered Christ, but that was the first time that, you know, I went obviously and played, and they gave us more than just sports, right? And I got to hear the love of God, and I got to see the love of God, I got to feel the love of God. And then going into my senior year, I had a, I was very annoying. I have the gift of being super annoying. And so my junior year, like I had a teacher named Mark Watson. And he was a physics teacher, and this was at a public school. And he had, I called him a Jesus freak because he had the sticker, and he played praise and worship music between classes. And dude, he literally was the most even-keeled, easygoing dude I've ever met in my life. And he drove me nuts, like that I couldn't bother him and I couldn't rattle him, and he was just so cool and so calm. And so that we had to read for outside reading. We had to pick a book, and you had to read 200 pages. And so I told my English teacher, I was like, I want to read the Bible. And she was like, nope. And I was like, what do you mean, nope? She's like, I can't meet with you and read the Bible. I can't check your work. And I was like, Mr. Watson will. I volunteered Mr. Watson to sit down with me. And he came and sat down with me, and he agreed to do it. And he started to take me through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I was like, man. And he started to take me through the gospel. And thank the good Lord. And by the way, anybody who's learning and growing in your faith, please start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Don't go to Leviticus, okay? Don't go. It's a lot harder to discern and figure out. But like he took me through Jesus. And he showed me what Jesus was. And I was like, dude, this is nuts. And wait a minute. You know, this isn't like nowadays when we have every piece of information on everybody, right? Like you can literally, I'm sure, go to my Wikipedia page and figure out what color is my favorite. I'm sure you can do that now. Like you look in the past, like the documentation was very small about people and even kings and emperors. And I'm like, wait a minute, but there's a book devoted to Jesus? And started to read about prophecies and started to read about his disciples and the time spent with them. And then look about the aftermath of the way the world was changed, you know, and we could go on the list of things that are so much different, of the way the poor are treated, the way women are treated, like, and just the paradigm shift that was the result of an empty grave and Jesus rising out of the dead. And I'm rocked. Like, I'm a senior in high school, never seen or heard anything like this. And in my life, you know, took a great turn, and what I lived for took a great, and listen, I can promise you, I wasn't perfect then, and I ain't perfect now. So, like, I vividly remember going to school, like, my senior year of high school, so I'm saved now, and all of a sudden, I want to tell everybody about Jesus. Like, right, that's my personality, like, I'm all in. When I'm in, I'm all in. And I'll never forget people cursing at the lunch table. And I was like, man, don't curse. That's not godly. Don't talk like that. And they're like, what? What happened to you? And because I thought my name was some curse words the way my mama talked to me. And then like a few minutes later, something would happen and I'd get frustrated or angry or upset. And I would say a curse word. And that's when I was realizing, man, like it's a process too. And the sanctification process, and it's ongoing still. And yeah. still feeling it through jobs and through things in my life. So it's an ongoing process, but that's how I met Jesus.
Yeah. And so when you were, a senior year in college, you began the process of just allowing this newfound faith and understanding, like, the power of the Holy Spirit, like, yep. Just, like, the shaping, the work that he was continuing to do in your life. Was that something that was, like, you talked about the cursing piece, okay? So, like, did you feel like it was this, okay, there are certain parts of my life now all of a sudden were, like, radically changed right away?
Yeah.
And then there's other things, like, boy, you know.
I ain't ready for that yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, still to this day. Yeah. I think, you know, it's interesting. First of all, one thing that really helped me that was awesome was I go to the University of Georgia next, and that's my next step. Well, my coach is Coach Mark Rick. Well, I love my daddy. My daddy's Norm Pollock. He is a stud. He's one of the best dudes I know. But again, he didn't show me what a godly dad looked like. And Coach Rick really, he had a strong faith, and he walked it out, man. And I started to go to FCA, and I started to memorize scripture and put scripture mark. And here's the deal. Like, God's given us a playbook, just like for football, just like for basketball, just like for baseball. He's given us his word, and that's our playbook. So every situation that we experience in our life, he's given us an answer. He's given us how he wants us to handle it. And so I think one of the biggest things with me was starting to memorize scripture and put it here. And listen, as I've gotten older, it's continued to develop and it's continued to morph. Now, like, I'm trying to do such a better job because I'm judgmental, and I got plenty of things, guys, that I mess up consistently, and I'm trying to read that. When I'm reading my word, I'm like, God, like, this for me, like, change this, not so I can share with people, because I love to read so I have knowledge.
Yeah.
I love to know things and be able to tell people and brag about what I know, but I'm like, God, transform this. Yeah. Like, transform me first before I start, you know, trying to teach this and do things. But having Coach Rick teaching me at FCA, team chaplain, teaching me to memorize scripture. I didn't realize how much it mattered who I was around and how much that dictated. And y'all are seeing that as you get older, man. You got those people in your life that forge you. And like there is some people when you're around them, you can feel it, man. They make you the best version of you.
Yeah.
Like think about that. There are. But we refuse, and sometimes we go with the version that's fun. And I can tell you this with full disclosure. That's how I almost lost my marriage. I mean, we chose to hang out with a group when our kids were younger that were about sports and having fun. And what that led to in my household was a fractured marriage that almost resulted in divorce. And we made a commitment, like, we're not, like, sports not going to run us. Fun's not going to run us. We're going to be in church. Which, by the way, some dads need to hear this, and they're not going to like it, and that's okay, because I'm not for everybody anyways, and I understand that. By the way, I've learned this in life, too. Some people don't like happy people. Some people don't like sad people. Some people don't like rich people. Some people don't like poor people. Some people don't like people, okay? So I'm all right with that. That's just the way it works, and y'all know who I'm talking about, but it might be, and if you don't, it might be you.
that's exactly what I was just going to say.
That's what you're thinking. But like it was so cool because we made a shift and we were like, all right, like sports isn't going to run us. Like sports is something we do. But you know what we're going to do on Sundays? We're going to go to church. And you know what? We showed up to church in our uniforms. Like that's fine. But the game's going to go on. But if I consistently as a dad and we miss church every Sunday for travel ball, which is a huge deal, and it's a big part of our world, and it's a big money maker, and everybody thinks that's what makes, you know, an athlete, you have to be on this team and do this. Like, if that's what's, I'm showing them. I'm not telling them. You can tell them about Jesus till you're blue in the face. I'm showing them that sport is more important than God. I'm showing them that sport is more important than church. Like, I hope that sinks in, man, because I had to check myself, and we had to reevaluate, and we had to change our family goals, you know, and we had to, but I think the important thing is who you're around dictates your future big time. Like, you look at Mark, like, you think about, do you want friends like that dude had that was paralyzed, that literally Jesus was speaking, and in Mark 2, Jesus is speaking, and he's sharing, and everybody's there. The whole town's there. He's talking. And these guys could not get their friend who was crippled to Jesus. So what did they do? Dagum cut a hole in the roof where he was at, in the house he was at, and lowered their friend down. That's the friend I want, bro. Like, the friend that's going to point me to Jesus. The friends that's going to hold me accountable. Like, we want to be peace fakers. Like, we want to make things right and say the right things. Like, the true definition of a peacemaker is someone who wants to bring peace to your life. Like, we got to surround ourselves with people that will say things that are difficult that you need to hear about your marriage. Say things that are difficult about your parenting. Like, and we got to be able to receive those. And listen, I'm not saying I always receive those great. Like, when you hear those, sometimes you're like, okay, first I want to punch you, but let me calm down. Like, right? And there's some truth in that. Right, and how we receive it. And I think the biggest thing, man, is how we respond. And so learning all that, but more importantly, man, the people you're around is going to dictate a lot of who you become and your attitude and negativity, positivity, growing closer to Jesus in your relationships and everything.
Bro, I love what you just said there, because a lot of times I think, like, as parents, for those of us that are parents, and, I mean, your kids are still, I mean, younger. You know, my boys are older, but a lot of times when we're parents, we're like, hey, you know, who's our kids hanging out with? We want to make sure that they're hanging around with others that are like having a great influence on them. How are you allowing your influence on them to be greater than, you know, their influence on you and all this kind of stuff, right? But then we think all of a sudden when we get to an age that now we don't have to worry about who we're hanging out with, you know, but
I do.
Right. Exactly. And so it's this continual work of saying, man, that doesn't mean that we don't care for these people. That because no, I mean, we want to reach them with the love of Jesus. We want to help them understand the life and the purpose they can have in Christ. But yet we also need to understand that, like, one of the things that I'm sure you've heard that I talk about a lot is that we become the average of the top five people we hang out with.
Yep.
You know, and so how much do we allow that truth to sink in for us, regardless of the stage of life we're in?
Yep.
And that doesn't change our mission. Because our mission is still to go and share Christ, for sure. But we got to make sure that we are surrounding ourselves with people that are making us stronger and grow.
Well, and I think we make, you're right, we make more of a focus on kids. But one thing, you know, again, like you take bold statements in church and big things. Like I played defense for a reason. Okay, defense is great. See ball, get ball. You ain't got to be smart. All right, like that's why they put guys like me on defense. Like you see the ball, go get him. Not 65 plays, shifts, formations, that stuff. So, but I need like to take broad strokes, and I need to make it like very concrete and very simple. So, how do we do that with our kids? How do we consistently do that with ourselves? Like my kids all the time. My son's 15, and my daughter's 13. I don't ask them, "Are you hanging out with good people?" Like. Shut down, no shot, like, right, no answer. Right. Like, hey, bud, who's your wisest friend? What does that mean? Okay, well, who's your friend that, like, dude, he gives you great advice? Like, always positive, wise. Like, all right, who's the friend that's always got your back? You know, asking those questions, you know, to get into their lives a little bit. But guess what? Now my son is thinking, my daughter is thinking who their friends are. Yeah. And I'm not having to say it and force it down their throat or, you know, do it any kind of way, but I'm just asking questions. Like, I think it's a big deal. We got to ask heart questions. Heart questions. Those are questions like, those aren't softball questions. Like, I asked my son and my daughter this, and I got two totally different reactions the other day. Does me and mommy's marriage excite you about being married? How about that question? Like, does that excite you about the possibility of being married in the future? And I think that says a lot about me and my wife and how we're doing this together and how what our marriage looks like. And my son was like, yes, I want to be married. My daughter was like, ugh, gross, no. So again, I got two different answers.
Yeah.
But I think being able to ask those questions that give you a little bit of insight into their lives, those heart questions that are easy to deflect if you give them yes or no answers, but if we can phrase them in a way that helps them think about it, I think it's in our head. But I think we got to do that with ourselves. Like, who holds me accountable, right? Like, who are the people in my life that says things that I'm like, man, that's really good. And I think we want to steer away from. And listen, it's hard. It's not easy, man. I'm not going to sit here and pretend. Like, when we split away from our old friend group, it sucked.
Yeah.
It hurt. It hurt our hearts. It hurt our kids' hearts. Like, it was very, very difficult. It's the best, one of the best things we've ever done. And it needed to happen. But that doesn't mean we treat them disrespectfully, but like we've chosen to go a different route. And so I think you've got to lead your family with their best interest at heart. You got to lead your kids with their best interest at heart. It's not just, we're not here to be their friends. We're not. And I tell my kids all the time, I can't wait to be your friend. It ain't now though. Yeah. I ain't going to be your friend. I'm your dad. Like, I'm supposed to help you become the best version of you. I'm supposed to lead you. I'm supposed to, you know, and here's the thing, and I'll shut up and get
no,
it back
you're good.
To you. Okay, here's another thing.
This is the easiest interview ever.
I don't, like, I have so much influence, and some of y'all can relate, and some of y'all are going to have kids that are younger that you can't relate. I have, my kids are getting older. The older they get, the less influence I have over them, and the less they listen. I ain't wasting on sports. My son came home from the Georgia-Kentucky game. This season, Georgia football, Kentucky game. First time my son's not, he's a big kid, strong kid, athletic. He was like, he's a freshman in high school. He's like, I think I can do that. He said, will you train me? Will you be my trainer? Will you work on my diet? I was like, absolutely not. And some of y'all are probably like, wait, you know how to do this stuff you've done? I'm like, dude, I want to be your dad. I don't want to be your trainer. I don't want to be your motivating force for football. I don't want this, man. Like, I want to plug into their lives, man, and I want to give them. What are you doing with your walk? How are you loving on people? You know, I ask them when I drop off at school, like, how much does kindness cost? Nothing. How much do you have of it? Unlimited supply, right? Like, I want those things to be the things that I'm pouring into, yeah. Not like, hey, let's do sports. Because guess what? I was a 3-star, whatever, not even highly ranked kid. I did not have a personal trainer. I did not have a personal coach. I did not have any of that stuff. I had a God-given talent that God gave me. And we're way more likely to turn somebody off than turn somebody on to being great at something. And so, like, my biggest thing, and I love what Ryan said earlier, like, my biggest thing is, like, do you have a great attitude? Like, are you a great teammate? Because those are the things you can control. Like, I don't care how many you score. Give a crap how many points you score. I don't care how many touchdowns you score. And guess what? I don't affirm that. I don't, when they score a touchdown, that's not the first thing I talk about. I'm not giving a prize for a home run. I'm like, did you have a great attitude? Were you a great teammate? Did you try as hard as you can? Like, was it fun, man? Like, that's the stuff I'm reinforcing because, again, our influence as they get older will get less and less, and we want to be a mentor and a leader and positive, not, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. And, you know, a lot of these conversations, like, the stuff that you're talking about right now is a lot of stuff which you cover with your pastor on the Family Goals podcast. And so, I mean, we're going to get the tip of the iceberg today, guys, with David, just because of time purposes and all that kind of stuff. But the podcast that he has with his pastor, the Family Goals podcast, I mean, this is the stuff you talk about. You break this down.
Unfortunately, I break it down because we screwed it up already. Yeah. So the good thing is, like, it's just what we've done. That's what I tell my 15-year-old all the time. Like, I'm sorry, bud, you were first. I mean, I can't help that, buddy. I had to learn a lot of doing it the wrong way with you. And so, yeah, we definitely share the fails and things you can work on.
Yeah, so. That's good. So let me ask you this, David, because we have a lot of college men that are in attendance here as well as across the country. And that's one of my big passions is investing in college men. How do we help them build the foundation in Christ prior to getting into marriage, being a dad, into the career and that kind of thing. And then we've got a lot of collegiate athletes, football players and basketball track runners, all sorts of athletes here as well. So I'd be interested in what advice would you give them? And I know that you've already given a ton of advice, obviously, in just the stuff you've already shared. But, like, specifically for college men, what is some advice that you would share with them today?
I mean, you got a cool opportunity, really, when you're at that stage, to start building your foundation, like, of what you want to be. It's way easier to do it right the first time, right, than to have to go back and do it again. So I think, you know, it's finding what your beliefs are. It's finding what you're passionate about. It's finding what you love to do. And it's not compromising who you are. And I think that's one thing that I think we get going in life and we start saying yes to a lot of things that we don't believe in because it's part of my job. For example, like with ESPN, vaccine. I didn't want to get vaccinated. I would not have done that. That's not something I wanted to do. I had to. Like I said yes to that. I wish I didn't. Like I wish I had like Sage Steel courage and I would have said no and not done it. But I was worried about getting fired, you know, like I was worried about that being a possibility. So I think when you start building your foundation, like build your foundation by getting your butt in church, build your foundation by surrounding yourself with a bunch of believers that will push you, that will hold you accountable. It's no different than anything else, right? It's no different than the other stuff we're talking about, but like college is such a great opportunity because what you're going to get in college at most colleges is not the current is not going to be Jesus. The current is going to be sex. The current is going to be drugs. Alcohol. That's going to be the current. Like that's going to be the norm. Like that's going to be the normal things that are happening. It's really hard to be different when you're the only one. It's really hard to stand out. It's really hard to really say no over and over and over again when you're the only one. But man, when you got one other guy with you, one other girl with you, like that makes it a lot easier. You have more courage. Like I'm going to find those people, man, that literally I know has the right. And here's the thing. When you do it enough, man, here's what I found at the University of Georgia when I was there. So I went to college. I was like, listen, I'm going to be a virgin until I'm married. I'm not going to drink alcohol. Okay. What do you think the first thing my teammates did when I got there? Hey, come drink. Hey, come drink. And I'm like, I don't drink. I'm not going to touch alcohol. Like, it's not a part. Hey, there's a girl. I was like, not interested. And it was the coolest, you know, what I'm going to use a big word. And I don't think it's right. But like coolest metamorphosis, like it coolest shift and change is because it went from that. Everybody I met the first, you know, 6 months, 7 months, year I was on campus was always, hey, drink. Hey, girls. Hey, this. To literally, I'll never forget, man, my second season, like somebody would come up to me and be like, hey, here's a drink. And they'd be like, he doesn't drink. Like they took pride in the fact that I didn't drink. They took pride in the fact that I said I was going to be a virgin until my wedding night, that I wasn't going to talk to girls. Like I wasn't going to, that's not something I was hooking up with. Like that didn't want what something I wanted to do. So it is hard. It's hard to be different. It's hard to say no. But if we're building our house on the foundation, And our identity and what it is. Because listen, we can build our identity in whatever we want. Like I could have built my identity in football, and if I did, I'm a failure. I'm a failure because I'm done with football. And guess what? Everybody in here or whoever's playing sports are going to hang their cleats up with their shoes up at some point. I can build my identity in a job. Well, fired recently. Nobody else has to raise their hand, but like, and my mom, by the way, she'd be so mad at me. My mom, if I said, she's like, you got let go. She's like, you did not get fired. I'm like, Mom, they told me to go away and not come back. So you can spit it however you want, Mama, but like, don't come back. You're not invited back. It's the same thing as let go slash fired, however you want to phrase it. But again, if that was my identity and that's it, who I built my world around and all of my goals and ambitions and dreams, then I'm a failure. But that's not how it works with God, right? That's not how it works with, I'm building my legacy on Him and my foundation on Him.
Yeah, it's so good. Earlier this year, I went and I bought the old, remember this commercial, the Staples Easy Button?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, so actually.
That's how you said it's in your office, right?
Yeah, so I went and I bought that in my office. I just have it on the corner of my desk and I see it every day and saying, you know what? There's no Easy Button. And it's so tempting. It's so tempting to push the Easy Button, whatever it is. And there's so many different things, right? But no, you know, God wants us to lean into the heart, lean into the work He's doing in our lives. And that's exactly the stuff that you're talking about. So one of the other things that I think that obviously the more we grow in Christ, the easier things become, right? The more we think. You talked about, you know, surrounding yourself with people. I think, you know, like even I mentioned at the earlier part of my talk of just even the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
The strength that they had, I mean, they had resolve within each of them individually, but the strength they had together to hold one another and to not bow. And so I love that. But the other thing that I think is so important is other things, other conversations that you and I have had about what you call holy habits.
Yep.
And so I'd love for you to kind of break down the holy habits conversation that we had, because the three R's that you mentioned, I just think it's laid out so well. It's easy to wrap our heads around, and as
that's got to be easy and simple for me.
Bro, exactly. I need something
defense,
easy.
Back to defense, guys.
Yeah. So holy habits. Talk about those.
Well, I, this is definitely something that came about from adversity for me, from getting fired, and I'm at home now every time, so I'm not traveling as much. I travel for speaking some. I thought I'd be in South Dakota. You know, traveling for speaking some and doing some stuff, but like so every morning now, it's a non-negotiable for me. And this works in my schedule now. Like, I get up whatever time I'm going to bed, I get up 30 minutes early, and I go get in the hot tub. And I spend, and don't get weird with me, I get in the hot tub and I spend 20 minutes with God. And I just listen. And a lot of us talk about, like, I don't hear from God. Like, I need direction. I need this, I need that. Well, do you listen? Like, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Are you doing that? Like, it's almost impossible to hear from God if we don't listen, right? If we don't invite Him into our day. So it's been a blessing to me. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with y'all, okay? I set my timer for 20 minutes the first day I did this. And this is 6 months ago. So this isn't something that's like 20 years ago. This is like 6 months ago. Nah, I've been fired for like more than that now. I guess 9 months, whatever, okay? I set my alarm for 20 minutes. I wrap my towel around my phone so I wouldn't look at it, because that time suck. We can get into phones too. I hate phones. I think it's Satan's greatest enemy to divide us. And I literally, I'll never forget, I'm sitting there praying, and I'm like, yeah, going through my prayer list. And then I was like, surely my alarm's messed up. Like, it's got to be 20 minutes. I'll turn over, and it was like 6 minutes. It was 6 minutes. I was like, how pathetic is that? And I've started to really, really spend more time with God, and that 20 minutes is easy now. And to watch Him show up and to watch the things in my day and watch me invite Him into my day more by building that holy habit. Now listen, if you don't know how to pray, you're not alone. If it's weird and awkward, you're not alone. It's weird and awkward sometimes. Some of the thoughts that I have that come to my mind during prayer, I'm like, good Lord, that's the furthest thing from God. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want y'all to know that, because I think it's bad for us to say, not understand that people, like, we're going to have, our brain's going to wander, and all of a sudden I'm praying, I'm thinking about basketball or something, you know, right, way out there, you know? So I developed the three R's for me. And this has been such a blessing to me, because I have a purpose when I pray now. And there's all kinds of acronyms and stuff like that. And again, but back to being simple for me, I reflect. My first R is reflect. When I got off the plane and I landed here, like, reflect on my travel. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me safe. Reflecting on what I just went through. Reflecting on the day before. Reflecting on my kids, my being a spouse, being a friend. Reflection, right? Like, we don't do that enough. We don't stop and reflect and right, think about where we won, where we lost, okay? My next one is repent. So we got reflect and we got repent. Now I got to apologize for a lot of things. And if you're like me, it's on the regular, okay? There's plenty to apologize for. Things that I failed, opportunities that I missed with God, things that I failed with my kids, thoughts that where I failed, judgments where I failed, because I can be judgmental. I can look at a situation and be like, oh, all you got to do is this. And as you get older, you're like, bro, it ain't the same for everybody. Like, so I think, you know, that's a big deal for me. And then repurpose. That's my third R, is repurpose. Like, God, repurpose my life. Like, show up, show out. In these situations, you know, give me an opportunity to really succeed. Give me an opportunity to see more of you. Direct all of my steps towards you. I'm inviting you to every meeting. Before I go into a meeting, now, before we were stepping on stage and you're talking, and I'm sitting there going, all right, Jesus, I'm reflecting you, you know? Like, but it gave me a plan. You know, so I don't just go, you know, my family, my friends, the usual, my wife, my kids. It's interesting. I thought this was cool with what Ryan said. I don't pray for my kids' protection. I don't. I never have. And I say that because you talked about adversity. That's the best place where I've learned. Adversity has taught me more about myself, my walk, my life than anything else. So I don't pray for my kids to be protected and safe. And I pray that God gives them the resilience in every situation to handle it. That's my prayer. Like, so I think it's gonna, everybody's gonna look different in how they approach things, but it's given me a concrete way to come to God with specifics, with my day, invite him into my day, to listen to him throughout my day, and to all the steps for me it accomplishes with just a simple, again, defense, right? Three R's. I mean, we all got that, I think. Well, you can write it down.
Yeah. Yeah,
if you need to.
So, you know, this room is full of very talented people, very gifted people.
That's debatable.
Yeah. So, and you yourself, I mean, you accomplished a lot of great things. You talked about how you failed in football or whatever. But I mean, this is just some of the stuff. You know, second Georgia Bulldog to be named a 3-time All-American, 2002 SEC Player of the Year, still reigned the all-time Georgia sack leader with 36. You're inducted in the College Football Hall of Fame 2020. So, you know, you've had some great success. Pride is such a, I mean, it's such a, just gets in us, right? And as scripture says, it comes before our fall, and none of us, like, steps out and says, I'm going to be prideful today. You've been given a gift that you used to the fullest potential that you could while you're in college and in your early years of the NFL, and now you're using the gifts God's given you here. I just am wondering, you know, so as you have seemed to just not get caught up in all the fanfare of success, and at least from an outsider's perspective, right, and what we see, you just seem to be doing, making a concerted effort to say, I want to be a John 3:30 guy. You know, I want to make more of Jesus and less of David.
Yes and no, okay? So the first time I got fame was in college. You know, I was, first of all, nobody knew who I was at Georgia. I came in as a fullback. I played defensive tackle as a freshman. I moved to defensive end as a sophomore. So I played three positions in a year on campus. And then I go and I'm a 3-time All-American. Well, the first year I'm an All-American, like, nobody knew who I was. Nobody bothered me. And then all of a sudden, everybody's in your business. Like, listen, Georgia's, like, football is a religion. Like, it is a family affair. It is a big deal. Like, they know your name. They know where you're at, your address, your girlfriend's name. Like, they know all your stuff, all your business. And so I can be honest, I didn't handle that great. I mean, I missed a lot of opportunities where I could have shared Jesus. I missed a lot of opportunities where I got overwhelmed. And the way I handled it was like, I need to get out of here. Like, you know, go away. You know, leave me alone. Like, I needed to get away. I needed to, I wasn't ready for it. So when you say that, like, I have plenty of pride failures. And I think you got two choices with humility. I think you do it or God doesn't. But you're going to get it. Like, you're going to get.
And we got to all write that down.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I think you got two choices. So I've needed God to do it. And mm-hmm. I've needed to be humbled a lot and still do, man. But, you know, I think my prayers and my views are different. You know, I know it's like, search me, O God, is a prayer of mine. Search me and find anything in me, Lord, that's not of you. And Point me away from it. I know I'm gonna make mistakes, and I'm okay with that. I think the biggest thing about all of us is, like, we're gonna make mistakes, but what does our response look like? Because that's the most important thing. Because we all live in the flesh, and we're gonna continue to live in the flesh on this earth, right? So when we make those mistakes, what does it look like? How do we respond? And I try to ask myself in all these situations with adult drama, because there's adult drama that finds you, right? Like, I'm like, all right, did I misrepresent God in a way? Like, is there something I could have done better? But there's sometimes you can't, there's nothing you can fix. There's nothing you can do. But I think pride is something that we all struggle with. I think having it figured out is something that we all struggle with. And that's why it's so cool when you get knocked down a rung and you mess up and you realize, man, because I fight on my knees better than I fight on my feet, right? And I think, you know, one thing, and this is all of us. I think so many of us in this room and so many of us listening, we are so willing to take our burdens, our struggles, our hurt, and lay it at the feet of Jesus. I bet a lot of us in here are willing to do that. But you know what? I bet you a lot of us in here do one thing after that. We lay it at the feet, and we come back and pick it up because we got it. Right? I'm going to lay it there. Lord, I need you. I need you. All right, it ain't working. It ain't answered yet, because prayers don't come. It's not yes. No. Prayers are yes, no, later, maybe later. Right? Like, sometimes you're going to get answered immediately. Sometimes it's going to be, you know, it's going to be yes or no immediately. Sometimes it's going to take some time. But are we willing to lay it at the feet and let it be? And I think as you get older, you learn that more and more, and you learn you don't control things. And like, why do we consistently try to grab the pen when God's already written our story? Like, it's written, right? Our story is written. It's already taken care of. So why are we fearful? Why are we anxious? Why are we worried about this? Like, God is in control. He knows the last day of your life. So I think we spend a lot of time on the uncontrollables, as opposed to the things we can control in that day, in that moment, developing holy habits that lead to more Jesus, more God, better relationships, you know, a better version of you.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we got time for just a couple more quick questions, and then we got to wrap our time here. But, you know, as we know, there's an enemy that we're at battle with, Satan, and he's a liar. He's a deceiver. His goal is to get us to doubt. And so just for your life, maybe your life personally, but it may be something that you just feel like the Lord is saying, like, what is a lie that you've had to wrestle with most in your life, or that you feel like a lie that men often believe from the enemy?
I think one thing for me that consistently holds me back from being the best version of me is that I'm not doing enough. And I tell myself all the time, I'm not reading enough. I'm not studying enough. I'm not in the word enough, right? Like, I'm not doing this. And sometimes I got to step back and I'll be like, listen, God created me for a purpose, for a reason. Like, and I love what Ryan was talking about that, right? Like, he gave me a skill set, and he gave me my gifts and my talents that aren't like others. So use them to the best of your ability. But I think we have a tendency to do the comparison and look around, and we have a tendency to, I have a tendency to beat myself up. And I think that's something that it holds me back from maybe being the best version of me, instead of being like, all right, no, you are good enough. Like, you're good enough because of God, not because of me, but finding that strength in him to continue to go and to continue to work, continue to grow without beating yourself up for the mistakes and the things you mess up, because that's a part of your journey. I mean, we're all learning in the journey, right? Like, we're all finding things out. And the only way to experience a lot of it, man, is to fail it. It's to mess it up, right? And that's our best teacher, but it's also the most painful, because a lot of times you hurt feelings and you say things you didn't want to say. And you know, I'll tell you something that happened to us recently. If you're not in a small group in church or with folks, I would encourage you to do so, because I think church is amazing. Church is so good, but there's something about when it's circles, not rows. And when you get in there with people and you get to share your failures and your successes and your parenting and your good things. And you know, a couple months ago, my best friend, you know, his wife passed, and he's 40 years old. She was 40 years old, and she was in our small group. And I can honestly say, man, it's the first time that I stepped in church in 20 plus years where I didn't want to worship. I didn't feel like worshiping. It hurt, man. Like, it stung. It still stings. It still hurt, and still processing it. Still something that I don't understand, and I don't get. But like Jeff, who's in our small group, he's our greeter at our church. I call him the face of our church because he greets everybody that comes in. She passed on a Friday. He was there on Sunday. And he was in the back of the room, and we did a service, and we did it for Jody. And he said, I'm trying to do my best here. He said, I got to, we have a cross worship in the front right. And he's like, I got to get, he said, I was in the back, and he just said, I had to get to that cross. And walking over to Jeff, and every man in the whole place went and put their hands on him, and were praying for him and sobbing. I mean, sobbing. And I could feel him, man. He was rigid and hard, rigid. I mean, he just lost his wife on Friday. And we prayed and we cried, and then we stood up, and the girls are mourning, and everything's very difficult, emotional. And he stands up, and man, he was so much freer and looser. And the song Gratitude came on. And homeboy throws his hands in the air and starts praising. And I was just like, man, like what an unbelievable example. Like what an unbelievable, this dude's going through the hardest thing in his life and through the storms. And by the way, it's not if, it's when. If you haven't been through a storm, if you haven't been through something that rocked you, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's coming. It's just a matter of when. And then like we have what does our response look like? How do we make that next step? Do we go closer or do we run away? And I think I would encourage everybody that we go closer. And that looks like holy habits, right? That's baby steps, man. That's finding ways that I can plug in and honor God and worship God with my actions. Because guess what? Here's another thing. All y'all in here, you can memorize scripture front and back. And that is awesome. That is a great thing to put in your heart. We've already talked about that, right? But your biggest testimony for God, your biggest witness for God, 100%, has nothing to do with what you say. It's how you live your life. It's not a verse. It's how you consistently respond. It's how you consistently treat people. It's how you consistently show up. Because that will tell you more than anything about that person. And people are always watching. And people are always, they're going to be like, what? Something's different, man. Like, you got something inside of you that's different. And then they give you that opportunity and you get to tell them why. But more importantly, if you don't show them, you can tell them till they're blue in their face and then not have any faith or any deeds with it that they're gonna be like, I don't want that. That's not what I'm looking for.
That's great, David. All right, so usually I end my conversations on my podcast. We're going to end our conversation with similarly, and I'm going to kind of hold you to about 60 seconds, okay? Just a 60-second answer, all right?
I get
just
that a lot.
We're just a touch
shut
over.
Shut up.
But no. Yeah. That was said out of love. And,
yeah.
But it's literally called the final word, okay? And yeah. It's just like, you know, 60 seconds of whatever the Lord lays on your heart at this moment that you feel like, this is the last word that I want to share. Could be a scripture, could be a shout of encouragement, could be a challenge. Whatever God lays on your heart says, this group of men that's here gathered in this room and those that are gathered watching us live around the country, this is the final word that I feel that the Lord wants me to share.
Are you doing the clock?
Okay. I got you.
All right. So during my phase of being fired, I've had a lot of mentors, and John Maxwell's been the best. And shouldn't say that loud, probably. John Maxwell's been amazing. And he said something to me that really changed the way I look at things and the way I do things. He's a pastor for 25 years, and John Maxwell, y'all know, is like the leadership guru, right? Like every leadership book written, like he's the guru guy. And he's on the phone, and I'm talking to him after I got fired, and he's like, hey, man, I've never had a clear vision in my life. I was like, wait a minute, you're the pastor guru guy. Like, you've been a pastor and you teach people how to do this stuff. What are you talking about? You teach them how to form, you know, visions and how to accomplish them. He said, I keep moving forward and God crystallizes my vision. If you think, if you're going to wait till it's perfect, you'll never do anything.
Yeah.
If you're going to wait till the right moment to do a business, I'm going to wait for the right moment to get right with God, I'm going to wait for the right moment to be a great parent, you'll never get there. Pull the trigger. Like, go. And as you go, you'll learn. You'll get experience. And God will teach you and give you wisdom along the way. But it's never going to be perfect. And I think sometimes we get paralysis by analysis and we never act because we feel like it's got to be, the T's have to be crossed and the I's have to be dotted. So, you know, don't worry about perfection. You know, always being pursuing. Always be going. Always be moving forward. And I think those are the things that paralyze us as dreamers, you know, because visions come from God, right? Visions come from God. Dreams come from us. I think a lot of times we think about dreams and what we want to do, but I think God will give us a vision once we start doing things. But we, if you want to walk on water like Jesus, what do you got to do?
Get out of the boat.
You got to get out the boat, right? Can't walk on water in the boat. So get out the boat.
Amen. Can we thank David for being
thank
here?
Thank y'all. Appreciate it, brother.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with David Pollack today. As always, if you did, I encourage you to share with others that may enjoy it and find it helpful as well. If you'd like to hear more from David, you can check out the Family Goals podcast that he hosts alongside his pastor, as well as follow him on Instagram and Twitter at David Pollack. All right, that's all for today. Thanks again for joining me, and we'll see you next time for another episode of the ResGen Giving Life podcast. Until then, continue being men whose life in Christ gives life to others.